You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DGEN Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are on to week 4 and a slate that is interesting, I guess. Doesn't seem like there's a ton of like great paths right now. There's some obvious ones with, you know, when you look at the totals for this week, you have the Chargers and Raiders game that has a 48.5 point total, but then you also have the Dolphins and Bills game that has a 53.5 point total. And that's kind of because then after that, I mean, you got games like the Broncos and Bears game that has a 46.5 point total. Actually, was bet up by 2 points already. And then you have the Colts and the Rams that is up to 46 as well. And then you also have the Vikings and Panthers that has a 46.5 point total as well. So those are kind of the biggest point movers. But then you have the 49ers who have the highest implied team total this week at 29. But that total is only a 44.5 because they are playing the Arizona Cardinals. So right now, I mean, I think for the most part, I think most people are going to look to build through the two games of the Chargers and Raiders and as well as the Dolphins and the Bills. But I will say this, when you're talking about this Bills game, it is hard because these players are all priced up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about Josh Allen, who is $8,200. Tua is $7,400. If you want to pair him with the wide receivers, you have Tyreek at 92. Diggs is 81. I mean, so there's not a lot of like ways that I feel like if you build that way, a lot of these teams are going to be very similar, and it's going to be critical in getting different if that's the direction you want to go. But I guess Maddie, starting this thing off, like, is there a different direction that you want to go or you can see yourself going outside of these two kind of core games of the slate?
I mean, I really like Rams and Colts myself. You know, both teams have been playing fast this year and you get a pretty funneled offense on both sides of the ball. You know, we know it's going to be Puka, Tutu, and Kyren on the Rams side, and on the Colts side that you pretty much have Anthony Richardson serving as the running back and quarterback. With a little bit of Zach Moss mixed in on the ground, but also through the air, it's going to be pretty much Pittman and Downs. So I really like that game for a game stack. You know, I think that's one of the sneakier ones. Neither the Rams or Indy play good defense, especially the Colts. I mean, we saw CJ Stroud 2 weeks ago hang 380 and a couple of tutties on the Colts D. And so Stafford's actually had a big year. From a yardage standpoint to start the year, both weeks 1 and 2, he was over the 300 yard mark. And the Rams were actually moving the ball. They had a couple drops, and they looked semi-decent against the Bengals, and on the road in Cincinnati is a tough place to play. So, you know, I'm kind of glad that the Rams, you know, didn't look amazing against Cincy, because I think we're going to get, you know, 5% Matt Stafford here at 5,700. And Puka's only 6,700 himself, and Tutu's 5,600 as well. So, it's a very affordable, you know, stack there. And then even Kyren Williams is only 6K. So you can pretty much, you know, get the Rams' entire offense. And Tyler Higbee was popped up with as questionable, or yeah, questionable. He didn't practice today. So, you know, if he misses as well, you know, that's even just more concentration on that offense. So, with how bad the Indy defense has been, especially through the air, I really, really like the passing attack of the Rams this week in that game against Indy. So that's somewhere I'm going to look. Definitely would have a ton of interest playing Richardson on the other side of the ball. The only other guys I think I've considered, I mean, you have to have interest in Fields against the Broncos, just with how bad the Broncos defense has been. And yes, I know it's, I know they just gave up 70 to the freaking Dolphins, but the Dolphins are arguably the best offense in the NFL right now. But you go back and look at weeks 1 and weeks 2, you know, Jimmy G threw for a couple touchdowns, and Jacoby Myers had a monster game against Denver in week 1. And then week 2, Sam Howell came up and hung like 35 on him. So it hasn't just been, you know, Tua. It's been Jimmy G and Sam Howell as well. So I do think, you know, if there was ever a spot for Fields and the Bears offense to get going, it has to be this one. So I definitely think, you know, that game's interesting. There shouldn't be much defense played there. The only defense that's going to be played is the offense beating themselves. So I think both of those games are really interesting. And like you said, I mean, you have to have interest in Buffalo and Miami, right? Because it's 53.5 total, highest total game of the week. But man, all of the pieces are priced so high, except for the running backs. The running backs are kind of interesting. We can kind of talk to it when we get to the running back position. But as far as like passing attacks, I just don't know that I can pay, you know, 8K for Josh Allen if he's not going to run the ball this year. Because I know you mentioned he's crushed Miami in the past, and that's typically because they play a ton of man coverage and he gives them ability to run. But I mean, he's had like, I think 5 designed runs this entire season so far through 3 weeks. And last year he averaged 5 a game. So I do have some concerns with, you know, how Allen's being used this year compared to last year for, you know, fantasy purposes. But if they get into a shootout with Miami, you know, Allen most likely is going to be out there trying to run around and make plays happen, and definitely could see an uptick in usage with his legs. So you have to have interest in Allen here. But I think I'm going to side with going the cheaper route at QB and playing one of Richardson or Stafford is likely where I'm going to end up. And then it's for you. I know it's Jameis Winston week, right?
I mean, I don't know. No, not against the Bucks. I think, I mean, I agree with most of the points that you made here in terms of, you know, attacking these off or what offenses that you should look to attack. You didn't mention Russell Wilson on the other side of that game. I do think that we can definitely attack this Bears defense. This Bears defense is dreadful pretty much across the board so far this week or this year. They allow the fifth most DK points to the position, and they just haven't been able to stop anybody. They can't stop anybody through the air. They can't stop anybody on the ground. And so I think this could be a really good, you know, not necessarily a get-right spot, because I think Russell Wilson has been kind of negatively affected by how bad their defense is, and people say that how bad he's been, but it's really not his fault that their defense is so dreadful, you know, to allow 70 points. And then not even that, like you mentioned, you know, they also allowed the 35 to the fucking Commanders. Like I just don't know you can put that on him. So I do think this is a really strong spot for him as well, if you want to go with him. And he's only $5,800. And so it's pretty cheap in a matchup against the Bears. So I do think this game, you know, has obviously shootout potential because of just how bad both of these defenses are. I also think Brock Purdy could be an option at $5,900. Arizona hasn't really been just, it's not like they've just been getting rolled over, right? I mean, they won last week against your Cowboys. Didn't want to bring it up, but, you know, just have to mention it. In the game, but then they also really should have won the week prior against the Giants, had a huge lead and fumbled it at the end. And so, like,
I think week one against Washington.
Yeah. And so they've been in every game they played. And so if they can keep it close, that's what we want. And that's where you'd want to target like a Brock Purdy and then build a stack through Debo or Brandon Ayuk if he makes it back this week, because if you're able to do that, and then, you know, he is also a very cheap option. And Brock Purdy has played really well so far to start the year. And, you know, week one, you know, against Pittsburgh, he put up 17.8, but a lot of that was just because they kind of steamrolled him early in that game and didn't really have to do a lot in the second half. And then you have the Rams game who didn't do a ton, but then, you know, against the Giants last week, put up 23.3. And so, I mean, 300 yards and, you know, a couple tutties is definitely in the range of possibilities for him. And so, and they also, like I mentioned, they have the highest implied team total on this slate. And so I do think Brock Purdy at $5,900, I think is another different option we could look towards. And then lastly, hate to say it, but Andy Dalton, he's only $5,100. He came off a big game last week where he put up 26 DK points. You know, they take on a Minnesota Vikings team that has allowed the third most DK points on the season. Their defense is not good. They've been better against the run. But against the pass, they've also allowed the third most DK points to wide receivers as well. So, well, you know,
I hate to burst your bubble, but I think Bryce Young's going to play.
I hope not, because I think Bryce.
He's already off the injury report. He doesn't even have a Q tag.
Well, never mind. We're out on that.
Hey, you can still play him. You're just going to not get any points. But, man, I liked where you were going with that, too.
Yeah, it felt good. Not now.
Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's awful. I still have interest in Thielen, though, I think, from there.
I don't know. And it's just Bryce Young has looked awful. Like, he's looked terrible so far. I mean, I know he's a rookie, so you got to give a little bit of a pass.
Minnesota is doo-doo.
They are, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not playing Bryce Young, though, at $5,200. I had interest in Andy Dalton.
Yeah, no, give me Stafford at $5,700 before I play any freaking Bryce Young.
And then I guess, what about Kenny Pickett? Did you have, if you were going to pay down, would you have any interest in Kenny? I mean, he bounced back in a pretty big way last week, you know, against the Raiders in that game. Would you have any interest in something like that at $5,100 going against the Texans?
No, they like to run the ball too much. Like, they'll just turn around and hand it off to Najee and Warren, I think, too much for me to have interest. And Houston's actually had an okay pass defense this year. They've just been abysmal on the ground, so.
Yeah, and then I guess any interest in C.J. Stroud on the other side? I mean, we just saw Jimmy Garoppolo hang almost 350 yards on the Steelers defense.
I mean, you have to have interest, right? I mean, with how much he's throwing, and Tank Dell looks like the real deal. And I don't know why he's priced $4,600 this week either. I mean, he's just a free click again. I'm not calling him Antonio Brown, but God, he looks a lot like Antonio Brown with the routes that he runs and his ability to just get open. And like, it's like he's just open every play. And the dude, it's not like this is out of nowhere either. Like, the guy absolutely shredded college football. And he's just produced at every stop so far. And now he's doing it in his rookie year. And I mean, Stroud's able to get him the football. So you have to have interest in Stroud, right? Because if Stroud has a good game, you know where it's going, because it's Nico and Tank. And there's not really anybody else involved there. So the stack is so consolidated that if Stroud does well, your whole stack is very likely to do well. And it's cheap, too.
Yeah. Lastly, the last guy I did want to bring up is Joe Burrow. Tennessee, you do not run the ball against Tennessee. You can throw on them all day. Their pass defense is absolutely dreadful. Would you have? I mean, I know Joe Burrow hasn't looked fantastic even last week, but this feels like, I mean, eventually he's going to go off and he's going to have a huge game and nobody's going to play him. And this feels like that type of matchup, because they are a team, like I said, that you really want to throw the ball against. You do not really – you can't run against them at all. Like, they have been absolutely elite against the run. Like, nobody's been able to run the football against them so far this year. And so, like, I think as a contrarian option, I think as a very low-owned option, I know he's 6,500, but, like, Joe Burrow does feel like somebody that could, you know, kind of break the slate a little bit in this matchup that nobody's going to have.
I mean, he just doesn't look right to me. And I just don't know if his ceiling, not being able to get the ball down the field, he's going to have to rely on yards after catch, which Ja'Marr Chase absolutely can do. but it's the big plays down the field to T. Higgins. Like, what did T. Higgins have in week one? He had 8 targets and no catches. And that, you know, there was a ton of them down the field and they just couldn't connect. And Burrow's not able to drive the ball. You know, I mean, they did beat the Rams and, you know, Chase obviously smashed, but a lot of Chase's usage was, you know, 5 to 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. It wasn't anything deep, you know, and he was just getting open and winning his, you know, winning his one-on-ones. And I mean, Burrow just kept peppering him over and over again, you know, on those short targets. So I almost like Chase by himself without Burrow, which is weird because usually, you know, when you play Chase for his ceiling, it's because he's going for 200 yards and a score. And usually Burrow's throwing for, you know, 350 and a couple of scores when he does that. But I don't know. I just think the usage is a little bit different right now with dealing with Burrow's injury, his calf.
Yeah. I mean, what we saw last week was on that Monday night game was a lot of short intermediate routes type stuff, just trying to get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. I mean, T. Higgins did screw him over some. I mean, because there was some just ugly drops by T. Higgins in that game. So that obviously didn't help him, but I don't know. I just thought he was kind of he's kind of an interesting name to look at $6,500. Eventually Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense is going to figure it out and start to get on track a little bit here. And wouldn't surprise me if this is the type of matchup that we see it in, because I just don't think they're going to be trying to run the football all that much because they're not going to have any success.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, if the Bengals smash, it's definitely going to be Burrow. So, I mean, you absolutely can get exposure there. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to play Burrow.
Yeah. All right. Well, that being said, I mean, I think I'm just really just kind of asking a bunch of questions about a bunch of players that.
Yeah, you know. It just feels like a pretty straightforward slate for me. It's, you know, attacking the couple. I mean, it's going to be the obvious spots, but, you know, attacking those spots and I guess trying to be a little bit different with how you do it. But yeah, I mean, you can attack some of these little off the wall spots like Houston, because if you do get a big game, you know, they're cheap and you know where the production's coming from. So I don't hate plays like that, because you don't really need them to score 30 for that play to work out. So whereas if you play like, you know, the Bills when they're all their guys are 8K, you know, you need those guys to absolutely go nuclear. So it's an interesting slate for sure.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and let's just jump over to running backs. I think we've kind of talked enough about these quarterbacks, and I think it's pretty obvious the ones that you definitely want to play and the ones that you can kind of avoid here. So let's jump over to the running back position. You obviously have Christian McCaffrey, who is finally priced above 9K. He's $9,200. We do have Austin Eckler, who's gotten in a couple of limited practices. I don't know if he will play or not in this game. It's going to be a little bit tough. I don't know if you really want to rush him back in a matchup against the Raiders, a game that they should be able to win without Austin Eckler. But I will mention Joshua Kelly has been absolutely dreadful in a couple of starts without Austin Eckler. But we'll have to monitor Austin Eckler, like I said, his situation, if he's going to play or not. But he's 8,500. Then you have Pollard at 78, Josh Jacobs at 7,100, Derrick Henry, 7K. And then the 6K running backs are Mostert, Mixon, James Cook, Ramondre Stevenson, Alvin Kamara, who's finally back from his suspension, and Kyren Williams, who is 6K, as well as Zach Moss, who's also 6K. So at least in the upper tier of running backs, does anybody stand out to you? Are you going to be willing to pay up for this $9,200 or for Christian McCaffrey in a smash spot against the Arizona Cardinals? Or I guess how would you be, if you're planning on playing a lot of the Bills and the Chargers, or the Bills and Bills and the Dolphins, it's going to be really hard to pay up for Christian McCaffrey.
So running back is bad enough this week that I think McCaffrey at 9,200 makes sense. Most weeks I would say no, I'm out on McCaffrey at 9,200. But when you get down this list, man, it's running back is disgusting this week. It's pretty bad. I do have interest in the running backs in the Miami and Buffalo game. You know, James Cook is getting insanely elite usage between the 20s. But once he gets into the red zone, you know, it's Latavius Murray, it's Damian Harris, it's not really James Cook. But I will say that doesn't mean his ceiling is gone, because if James Cook, you know, scores from 25 yards out, you know, that's a 25 yard rushing touchdown. So yes, he's not getting the 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yard carries at the goal line, but that doesn't mean he still can't score. So I definitely have James Cook interest for his usage, you know, before they get to the red zone, including pass game usage, and the Dolphins backs as well. I think we could see Miami, you know, have really good success running the ball again for a third straight week here. You know, they obliterated New England on the ground. They obliterated the Broncos last week on the ground. And now they kind of have a two-headed attack with, what is it, A-Chan. Yeah, so A-Chan and Mostert. So, you know, I think both of those guys are in play. So that game's interesting from playing the running backs, which is leverage off of, you know, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. And then Kyren Williams is an absolute lock for me. I will start every team I have, you know, every team that I play this week, I would play Kyren Williams. He does not come off the field. The matchup's good against Indy. He's heavily utilized in the pass game. He gets the goal line carries. I just would play him. He's 6K. Click the button and move on. So those are the guys. I can already see, you know, the decision point is going to be coming down to, you know, paying up for like Devontae Adams or Keenan Allen or Christian McCaffrey, because running back is just so bad that, you know, McCaffrey's 25 points at running back can go a long way for you this week.
Yeah. So I think when we talk about the running back position, I think there's some players that you could target that haven't broken out yet, that haven't done a lot, but are in great matchups and the usage is there for them. So Josh Jacobs would be one, right? Against the Chargers, he has played 80% of the snaps. He's the absolute workhorse in this backfield. 71% of the rush attempts is what he is handling right now. He's running 57% of the routes. He has the eighth highest target per route run rate among all running backs so far. The Chargers run defense hasn't been great this year. They allowed the 12th most rushing yards, the 9th most rushing touchdowns, and the 13th most DK points to the position. And so the usage is absolutely there for Josh Jacobs to smash. He's $7,100. He is a little bit expensive. He obviously hasn't done a ton yet. So I do think you could look at somebody like a Josh Jacobs as an option if you're wanting to kind of pivot off that high price of Christian McCaffrey in a matchup against the Cardinals. And then I think some other, you know, just at least intriguing options would be DeAndre Swift against the Commanders. And I know this isn't a great matchup. The Commanders have actually been good against, or at least decent against the run this year. But Swift is only $5,700. And if you look, at Swift, he has back-to-back 100-yard games. Last week against a really, really good Bucs defense, run defense. He had 16 carries for 130 yards in that game. He's had over 305 rushing yards over his last two games. Now, Gainwell did come back last week, and he did have 14 carries in his return, but he only managed 48 total yards. But like I said with the Commanders, I mean, they've allowed the 17th most rushing yards, but they are top 10 in yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs, and they have allowed the 12th most rushing touchdowns as well. So it's not a terrible matchup for him. It's actually better than what he faced last week, and $5,700 feels pretty cheap for a guy that I think has a pretty high ceiling in a matchup against the Commanders here. So I do think at $5,700, Swift is another name that you could definitely take a look at. And then I think past that, you know, you kind of brought up a Zach Moss, I think is also, I mean, he continues to see a heavy amount of this workload here in this backfield in the game since he's been back. He's pretty much handling all of the work in this backfield, and he's also being involved in the passing game, which is obviously a big time plus as well. And I don't think if you wanted to go there, I think you could look at somebody like that against as matchup against the Rams. And then if you want to go off the board a little bit, Javonte does make some sense here. He's $5,500. We're starting to see him creep up a little bit in usage. I think last week he handled 55% of the running back rush attempts. Obviously, they got the doors blown off of him, so he didn't really have to use him as much, and so he didn't really get as much run as you would like to see him get. And if you've kind of watched any of Javonte so far this year, he's actually looking better and better, I think, each game that goes by. And this is a smash matchup against the Chicago Bears, as we know. And so this could be a game that he kind of figures this out and kind of gets right and finally puts up a pretty solid performance. And he's only $5,500. So I will likely take some shots on Javonte Williams at $5,500 against the Bears here and what should be a pretty good game script for him.
Yeah, I'm good with playing Javonte in this matchup. And then one guy we didn't really touch on, but is seeing 25 plus touches literally every week is Tony Pollard at 7,800. I feel like nobody just wants to click anybody against New England ever, but New England really will let you do, you know, one. They turn you into a one-dimensional team. So like when they played Miami, right, they let Miami just run the ball and didn't give up any deep passing. And then when they play the Jets, they stack the box and don't let the Jets run and force them to throw because of Zach Wilson. So I'm curious how they're going to come out and attack Dallas, and maybe they try to stop Pollard on the ground and force Dak to beat him. But with the weapons that, you know, Dallas has through the air, I don't know that they can necessarily afford to do that. So I wouldn't be shocked if Pollard has a big game here. I mean, with Pollard getting 25 touches a game, I mean, he's pretty much a lock to score 20 points. I mean, he's just so efficient with his touches, and now you throw in volume. I mean, he gets all the high value stuff and is involved in the pass game and the goal line work and all that. So I think Pollard may get squeezed on ownership because everybody wants to play the high priced receivers that we'll talk about here in a second. But I think Pollard's definitely interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he's always going to be interesting with his incredible of a situation that he's in. I think lastly, and maybe it's a little thin, but Jaylen Warren, I think, if you look at him, he's starting to get, he's actually been playing. It's getting more and more to closer to being a split. Like last week, Najee Harris only played 52% of the snaps, so 43% of the snaps to Jaylen Warren. He is handling more of the rush attempts with 59%, only 27% for Jaylen Warren. But where it gets interesting for me is on the pass catching usage, and that is Jaylen Warren ran 47% of the routes last week, and Najee Harris only ran 30% of the routes. And Najee Harris saw 0% targets, 0% target share to a 17% target share last week for Jaylen Warren. And so I think that is pretty intriguing. On the season, he has a 16% target share and a 32% target per route run rate. And so in a game that feels like it could be a little bit back and forth a little bit here, Jaylen Warren is on the cheaper side in terms of as an option at 5K. And so I do think if you want to look there, because it's got to be a matter of time before the Steelers move on.
It has to be. Najee Harris
has looked dreadful. I mean, there wasn't a better matchup you probably could find than against the Raiders last week, and he looked terrible against them. Like,
yep.
He just looks like he's running in quicksand, and he's not explosive. He's just not good. And Jaylen Warren, I mean, like I've kind of been talking about more and more, like Jaylen Warren, this looks like a like almost – replica of what we saw last year with the Cowboys, right? Jaylen Warren looks like Tony Pollard, super explosive, great pass catcher out of the backfield. And then you have Zeke who comes in and just this plotter. And that's what Najee Harris looks like. And it might even be disrespectful to Zeke last year for what actually Najee Harris has done. And so I think eventually there's going to come a point where Jaylen Warren just kind of starts to pretty much take over this backfield, or at least gets a equal touch share in terms of carries and targets. So that being said, I do think Jaylen Warren at 5K, if you're wanting to get a little bit different, pay down a little bit at running back, I think is another option against the Texans.
Yeah, and I think that one of the other backfields is kind of in a similar situation is the Bears with Roschon. I think Roschon's going to end up taking over that, and it's a good matchup against Denver this week. So, you know, we've seen Roschon get usage in games where, you know, they're trailing a little bit, and they are essentially going to trail every game for the most part, but I mean, he's splitting touches with Herbert, but I think Roschon's interesting, you know, if you were running out, you know, 20, 50, 100 teams.
I don't disagree either with that. So I'm proud of that too. So, but overall, like I'm probably not getting too crazy at the running back.
Yeah.
Like I do think like Alexander Mattison is interesting. We didn't bring him up, but he's $5,800. Like he'd be the other guy because Carolina is really bad
against the run. I mean, Tony Jones scored twice against them.
Yeah, and it's just Alexander Mattison has been pretty bad. Like he's 20 carries last week. He did have 93 yards, but he had a lot of. I mean, there was a couple things that he did that were
he fumbled.
Yes, he fumbled a couple times, and he's just been having more and more issues.
And Cam Akers is going to start to mix in this week too.
Yes,
So,
but the matchup is 100% there for yeah. them, for Alexander Mattison, but it is a dicey situation to trust. And then I think the other one that I want to mention that I think is going to fly under a lot of people's radars, and they're going to see, oh, this is a matchup against Dallas, and I don't want to play him, and that's Ramondre Stevenson. And on paper, when you look at the Cowboys, it really does look like it's a really bad matchup for the running backs position here. But if you dig a little bit deeper here, it's the Cowboys have actually been low-key terrible against the run. It's just been game script has allowed them to nobody be able to run the football against them, because those first two games, they absolutely blew the doors off both teams they played, so nobody really ran against them. We saw last week James Conner go for over 100 and a score against them. And if you look at, like I said, a little bit under the hood here, while they've had the third lowest rush attempts against, but they've allowed the second highest yard per carry rate among every team in the NFL so far to start the year. And so it's just been teams that just haven't been able to run the football against them. But yeah. when you do, you've definitely been able to do it. And so Ramondre, I do think at $6,200, who's also involved in the passing game. Yes, he was not very good last week, but this is a different matchup that was on the road against the Jets. And like I said, you can run the ball against the Cowboys. And so I think this is going to be a good bounce back spot for him, utilize more in the passing game. And he's only $6,200. And for his usage, he should be a running back in my mind that's in the 7K range. So I am not afraid of this Cowboys defense in terms of being able to run the football against them.
Yeah, and 6,200 is a total. I mean, the matchup's baked into that, you know, or what people perceive the matchup to be. So, yeah, I'm totally good with Ramondre as well at 6,200.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I stand. I'm definitely going to try to get some Christian McCaffrey. I have no problem playing Tony Pollard. I will probably sprinkle in some Josh Jacobs because of the matchup, because of the usage that he sees, and because I think he's going to be low owned. And then I'm going to have some access to James Cook at $6,300 and Kyron Williams. And then down here in the 5K range, I'm going to play some Javonte Williams and maybe mix in a little bit of Jalen Warren and DeAndre Swift. I think those would be the ways that I would look to go.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
This week. All right, let's move over to the wide receiver position. You have Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown, J- Jaylen Waddle, Devonta Smith, CeeDee Lamb, Chris Olave, and Mike Evans. Those are all the 7K and above wide receivers. And then in the 6K range, we have Deebo Samuel, T. Higgins, Puka Nacua, Jerry Jeudy, Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper as the 6K and above range here. So obviously at the top, you know, you have Jefferson is creeping towards that 10K price salary, and then you have Tyreek Hill who's $9,200. So we've kind of hit on the other ones. To me, I think what stands out the most is going to be Keenan Allen at $7,900. He has the same ceiling as Justin Jefferson does, I think. I mean, we just saw it last week, the massive amount of targets that he saw against the Vikings. The 20 targets that he saw is absolutely ridiculous. But who are you looking at here in this upper range?
Yeah, it has to be the two guys. Well, I guess three, right? Let's see. Well, Chase had 15. But it's got to be the two guys that saw 20 targets and the one guy that saw 15 last week, right? So Devontae Adams also saw 20 targets last week against Pittsburgh. And we know that he still has it. So Adams and Allen, they're playing against each other, make for a phenomenal mini stack of that game. I mean, they could account for, you know, 60% of the receiving production there. On teams that you don't have Devontae Adams, I really like Jacoby Myers as leverage there. Because that offense again is so concentrated that, you know, it's usually one or two of Adams and Myers going off this year with Jimmy G. Now, I will say if Jimmy G doesn't play, if it's Hoyer instead, then that obviously changes everything. I probably at that point won't even play Adams at all because I just don't have confidence in Hoyer to be able to, you know, feed Adams 20 catchable targets. It may be only 10 catchable targets at that point. So at that point, you know, Chase saw 15 targets last week. We mentioned Tennessee, you know, you throw the ball on them. You don't run on them. T. Higgins in the same breath is a little bit cheaper than Chase. He's interesting. You have to have interest there. San Francisco, if one of Ayuk or Debo's out, I have interest in the other, whichever one plays. If they both play, I'm out on both. And then if one sits, you just play the other one, and you also play George Kittle is usually the rule. Moving down the list, I think Olave is interesting with Jameis Winston at QB probably. Olave was peppered by Winston, you know, to start the year last year. And Winston, we know, is not afraid to push the ball down the field. Tampa Bay is actually supposed to be without, I think, two of their starting cornerbacks. So both, what is it, Jamel Dean and was it Carlton Davis on the other side? So both of those guys are what's looking like should be missing this game. So it's kind of big for, you know, Olave and Winston, their downfield connection. So, I think Olave is going to get overlooked, and I definitely have a ton of interest there. We mentioned Stafford at the start of the show. You have to have interest in these Colts or in these Rams guys against the Colts. Atrocious pass defense. Puka Nacua is only 6.7K, and Tutu Atwell is cheaper than he is at 5.5 there against Indy. So both of those guys you have to have interest in. You can play both of them with Stafford. You can play Kyren and one of those two with Stafford. So really you want just two of those three big Rams guys. It's Kyren, Puka, and Atwell. If you're playing Stafford, and even if you don't play Stafford, you can still play, you know, Kyren and one of those receivers, because of how consolidated their offense is. We mentioned the Houston guys as well. I have interest in Nico Collins at 5,100 against Pittsburgh, and I have interest in Tank Dell at 4,600. That is, again, just a misprice. Tank Dell should be priced above 6K. I will continue to play Tank Dell at his current price, and I think he's just an absolute free square. So I'm going to continue to play him. $4,600 Tank Dell. I am absolutely on board for that. I have interest in Thielen. If Dalton were to play, I'm not as interested in him with what it sounds like Bryce Young is going to play this week. So I could see Thielen getting steamed up to being really popular this week because of his last 2 weeks that he's had. And also it's the revenge narrative, right, against Minnesota. So I could see Adam Thielen becoming one of the more popular wide receivers on the slate. And if that happens, I am definitely out on that. So, yeah, it's pretty straightforward for me at wide receiver. Again, it's just a pretty straightforward slate, you know. The Vegas and Chargers guys, You know, with Mike Williams out, you can play Palmer. Quentin Johnson's interesting. Even Gerald Everett at tight end. We haven't got to tight end yet, but Chargers and Raiders, pass catchers, the Bengals, the Rams, the Texans, and that's pretty much where I'm going to. And then the 49ers, if one of those guys is out, that's pretty much where I'm going to live this week.
So, I mean, I don't really need to go into the top guys, obviously, whether it's Tyreek, Justin Jefferson, even, I mean, Diggs, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, all of them are in really, really elite spots this week. But if you like, once we start getting down a little bit lower, you know, you kind of talked about a little bit about, but Michael Pittman, I think, is in a really, really good spot. This is a wide receiver that is a 30% target share. He has the fourth most total targets among all wide receivers. He's also 11th in market share of air yards in this offense. And so those are all really positive things we want to see. He's seen 11 or more targets in each and every week that he's played so far to start the season. So I do love that for Michael Pittman. We know he's going to see a heavy target share. And for a wide receiver that you can count on that only being $6,500 in a really good matchup against the Rams, I think that Michael Pittman is an easy play if you want to pay down a little bit and avoid the top tier of wide receivers. Gabe Davis continues to, you know, have a little bit better of a year. Last week wasn't as good, but he did score a touchdown. But Gabe Davis, if you're wanting to get a little bit cheaper and get access to this game, is definitely somebody that you can take a look at. You brought up Jacoby Myers, and rightfully so, because Jacoby Myers has been absolutely he's been fantastic so far in the first two games that he's played so far. He has a 31.4% target share, which is second most among all wide receivers so far to start the season. He's also 15th in market share of air yards on this team, fourth in yards per route run, seventh in yards per team pass attempt, and seventh in weighted opportunity rating so far this season. So he has been fantastic. It's been pretty much a funnel between Devontae Adams and Jacoby yep. Myers when he's on the field. And so in a matchup that they're going to have to throw the ball because of, you know, who you're playing on the other side in the Chargers. So I do think Jacoby Myers is in a really strong spot. And again, I think he is somebody that we could look at that is being a little bit underpriced in his own right, because he's still, what is he, 5,300, I believe, is where he's being priced at right now. And so, 5,500, excuse me. So yeah, right around that price right there with Tutu Atwell. And so I think he's a strong play. Cortland Sutton, $5,300. He was targeted 11 times last week. And, you know, and again, really strong spot against the Bears, even on some one-offs here if you don't want to pay up, because I think Jerry Jeudy is $6,600. But Cortland Sutton, he's only $5,300, is another direction that you could look at here in a really solid matchup against the Bears. And then you kind of hit on it. But so you have Josh Palmer and you have Quentin Johnston here at $3,700 and 4K. I think those guys are going to carry some ownership here. But what I will say is I think the biggest beneficiary from the Mike Williams injury is going to be Quentin Johnston. Because if you look at Josh Palmer, he was already playing a decent amount of snaps heading into this. So you look at Josh Palmer on the year, you know, he's pretty much been running about 70% of the routes on the season. And he's been seeing about a 16% target per route run rate on the year, where Quentin Johnston has not been. Quentin Johnston's only been running 28% of the routes, but he's being targeted on 21% of routes run on targets per route run rate. So that is strong. But I think that is where who is going to be the biggest beneficiary, because Josh Palmer is already playing a lot of snaps. They run a ton of three wide receiver sets. And so I do think Quentin Johnston at $3,700 is probably going to play this Mike Williams type role, this bigger body option, red zone usage, end zone usage. And so at $3,700, this feels like a really strong spot to target somebody here against the Raiders. And so $3,700, I'm wanting to pay down. And then you already mentioned a little bit, but Josh Downs coming off his highest total target total of the season, targeted 12 times last week against the Baltimore Ravens, 8 catches in that game, 57 yards. So at $3,500, he feels like the cheap option that we should be looking at.
Yeah, I like Downs a lot, and he's another guy, just like Tank Dell. He Downs smashed in college at UNC, so he's another just talented receiver. He seems to have taken over the number two role there in Indy, and he was getting targets, you know, when Anthony Richardson was playing too. You know, the pass rate obviously went up with Minshew compared to Richardson, but, you know, you could, if you're playing Richardson, I would definitely pair him with one of Pittman or Downs, but I almost side with just pairing him with Downs for the savings. And, you know, Downs is going to have a big game eventually. And 3,500, I mean, he can get you 20 points easy. So I like that call a lot.
Yeah. And lastly, Calvin Austin as well, $3,300. He has seen in his first three starts, it's 6, 4, and 6 targets. Not that that's incredible, but that is still enough for a $3,300 wide receiver. You know, obviously Deontay Johnson is out. So he and on IR. So Calvin Austin has kind of filled some of this role here a little bit. He did have a pretty decent game last week, ripped off a 72-yard touchdown against the Houston Texans. And so if you're wanting to pay down a little bit and you're looking for a cheap option, I think he's also somebody we can be taking a look at here at his price. So other than that, do you have any other wide receivers you want to hit on? You want to jump over to tight end?
I'm good.
All right. Let's go ahead and move over to the tight end position this week. And it is, so we don't have any Travis Kelce, so that's always interesting. But you have TJ Hockenson at 65, Mark Andrews at 54, George Kittle at 51, and then Taysom Hill at $4,500. And then you have Dallas Goedert at 44, Hunter Henry at 43, Tyler Higbee at 42, Cole Kmet is still at 4,000. I don't get why, but anyways. And then you have, past that, you have Njoku, you have Gerald Everett, who does have a questionable tag next to him, but he did not practice today, so he's now missed. He's missed practice every day this week. So if he were to miss, we could be looking square in the face of a Donald Parham week, who is only $2,800.
Yeah, and Parham's been involved even with all the guys healthy. You know, Mike Williams and Everett. So I definitely don't hate that. If I will say, if one of Ayuk or Debo's out, I'm playing George Kittle. He smashes when one of those guys misses. So that will be it'll be Kyren Williams and George Kittle. Those would be my first two clicks if we get a and Tank Dell. Those will be first three clicks if we get, you know, one of Debo or Ayuk out. So I really like Kittle. Outside of that, I'm a big believer in the role that Jake Ferguson has. I think at some point, you know, he's going to have a 2-touchdown game. The Cowboys have had a ton of red zone issues to start the year, and they're just not scoring when they get in close, but they're getting in close a ton. I think that's going to change eventually. So Ferguson, you know, leads the team in red zone targets and is a heavy piece of what they try to do down in close. And he sees a good chunk of targets on a weekly basis, even outside of the red zone. So I definitely have interest in him. Goddard, you know, if you're not playing, I mean, it's weird not having interest in Philly, right, at all. But Philly's just kind of looked, you know, mid to me to start this year. Like, they're not scoring as efficiently as they have. And when they've been moving the ball, it's been the running backs. But, I mean, Goddard against Washington at 4,400, like, it just feels like a play that I should be interested in. But I'm not, I guess, not as interested in maybe as I would normally be. I don't know. It's a weird spot, but yeah, if Everett were to miss, he's got an illness, but if he were to miss, you have to have a ton of interest in Parham there at 2,800. So it's just a gross slate at tight end. There's not many options.
It really is. There's not a lot to like, there's nothing on here that just like is absolutely stands out to me. And I'm just like, okay, elite play here. Right. Like, maybe Mark Andrews, $5,400, that's, he's expensive, but that feels like too cheap for Mark Andrews, what you typically would have to pay for him. He's been above 6K in both the other two games he's played this year, so, you know, $5,400. But the reason we haven't talked about this game is because Cleveland has been absolutely elite so far. Yep. Their defense has been fantastic so far to start the year, so I'm not really all that excited about that. But I do think somebody like Patty Fry, who's $3,400, you know, I don't think there's really, like, tight ends on here that you're just worried about, oh, man, This team's going to, you know, this guy could break the slate. And so for that matter, if that's the case, I'm just going to pay down a tight end and just move on. Like, I'm not going to worry about it. So, like, Patty Fry at 34, you already mentioned Jake Ferguson. He's definitely is too, especially with the usage that he sees inside the red zone. But, you know, both of those guys are cheap tight end options. And then, you know, like we already mentioned, Donald Parham is somebody. And then maybe like a Chig Okonkwo. The Bengals, where you do want to target them, is against, they have struggled against the tight end. They've allowed the fifth most DK points to the position. And so, but the problem is believing anything that's going to come good out of Ryan Tannehill, because he's been terrible. But Chig Okonkwo, he's had opportunities. There's been a couple times this year that Ryan Tannehill just completely missed him and what should have been a touchdown a couple of times. And so that is frustrating. But he's only $3,100. So I guess you could look there at, you know, as an option. But past that, like, I'm not really all that excited for anybody else that's really on the slate at the tight end position.
I agree.
Sad to see. This is just a gross slate. I mean, I'm just gonna be honest.
It is. It's, I mean, the good plays are the obvious ones. They're all gonna be popular, but I mean, there's some things you can do to be different. So, like, if everybody's playing Devontae, you can obviously play Jacoby Myers for savings. And I mean, there's ways you can be different responsibly, but I just would. It's just not a slate I would just go off the too much off the board on it. Like, play a lot of the good plays and just somehow figure out a way to try to be different with it.
Yeah, I think just finding a couple, even just a couple plays that are different.
A lot of people that play Keenan Allen are going to have Devontae Adams too, assuming Jimmy G plays. But you know, maybe they don't have Jacoby Myers paired with Keenan Allen, so you know, you can be a little different that way.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and move over to defense. I don't think we need to waste any more time on tight ends. And let's just scroll down to the bottom. That's where we always live. And anybody at the bottom really stand out to you? Maybe the Panthers, you know, against Minnesota at $2,500.
Yep. Panthers at home against Minnesota. Buffalo at home against Miami. I know, you know, Miami looks amazing, but I mean, playing in Buffalo is definitely still tough to do. And Buffalo defense has looked really good to start the year. So
the Browns at $2,800.
Yep. The Browns at home against Baltimore. That's probably if I was just picking one, that's probably where I would go. Would be the Browns.
I just don't understand. I know they're playing the Ravens, but like, why are they so cheap?
I don't know. They're going to be popular though. That'll probably be the chalky defense there.
Yeah. And then the Dolphins too, if you want to go in the other direction. Josh Allen does have a tendency to turn the football over too, so.
Yep.
All right. Well, I don't think we need to waste any more time. So let's, nope. we might get this done in under an hour. So let's go ahead and build this team for this week. Where do you want to start?
Kyren Williams.
All right. Well, let's just have some fun. I'll lock in Puka.
All right. Let's go. Let's have some fun then. Let's go A-Rich.
All right. Well, if we're going to do that, then I'm going to lock in Pittman.
All right.
So we have $4,800 remaining at running, but we need a running back, wide receiver, tight end, a flex, and a defense.
Let's go Keenan Allen.
I want to run that back with Jacoby Myers at $5,500 down at the flex.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll be able to make that work because that running back is going to get real thin, but
we'll just go ahead and plug in. Let's go ahead and plug in the Browns. We'll move them down if we have to.
Who is the cheapest tight end that we could fit in?
We didn't talk about. Oh, never mind. I mean, I was going to say Cole Turner for Washington because he saw like 7 or 8 targets last week with no Logan Thomas, but Logan Thomas practiced in full. So he's probably going to play.
Yeah.
I guess Chig probably. Ugh.
If we did that, that leaves $4,800 at the running back position.
Who's that? Roshan?
Yeah, you have Khalil Herbert, Samaje Perine.
Assignment Roshan's $4,900. You'd have to we could drop, so let's drop defense to Panthers. It leaves you 51. It gives you a little more wiggle room. You play your boy Pierce or Warren or Roshan.
You know what? Let's go Damian Pierce here. At least we know his, what, you know, what usage he's going to see here within this offense. This is like the ultimate, like, you just want to get different. You don't want to play. You don't want to play the other game. We have no Bills or
Dolphins.
Dolphins here in this one. So we have Anthony Richardson, Kyron Williams, Damian Pierce, Puka Nacua, Michael Pittman, Keenan Allen, Okonkwo, Myers, Panthers. This team feels really gross, to be honest.
It does feel gross.
Like, I feel like... Is this really what we're smitten?
I don't know.
Do we want to try a different one? Because this feels gross.
No, it's a Millie team.
Yeah, we're all right. Let's lock this one in. Leave no money on the table. This is the team we're running with here. Feels as gross as you possibly can get. But hey, this is what you're gonna have to do this week because everybody's gonna be playing the same two games.
That's right.
For the most part, there's not a whole lot that stands out beyond this game, and that's what's tough, right? Like it's I don't know. But maybe these slates are fun because you dig a little bit deeper in, you find something, you find the edges that you can, and that's how you win a week like this, right? When this, where a lot of weeks you have like multiple games that stand out, this week doesn't really have that. And so really trying to find some edges is definitely key here. So let's see. There was like one in here. Mark, Kyron or Moss, both 6K. I would prefer the Kyron side because I know his pass catching usage is incredible.
Yeah, and Moss too. Moss should lose a little bit of volume and goal line work with Anthony Richardson back as well.
Yeah,
because those last two games, you know, Richardson left in the first quarter of the one game, and then Minshew played the entire next game. So you know, the two Moss games have been kind of a mirage of what could possibly come once A-Rich is back.
Yeah, I am wondering is, considering he's been hurt twice now off running the football, do they try to make him not a runner for a little while to get him to kind of keep
no going? Shot. That's not what they drafted him for.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I could just see where maybe they limit the design runs a little bit with him. But
he's so good. I mean, he scored two rushing touchdowns. like
oh, for sure.
If they're trying to win, they got to let him run. They have no choice. He's too
right.
athletic.
Alex, played Monty over Roshan, have Pierce at bench while Algier, Roshan, Spears. Should I bench Pierce for those options? No, I wouldn't.
No.
Mark, Josh Palmer viable with Herbert Allen stack? Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
And then bring back with Devonta. Yeah, and or you can bring back with Myers.
Or Jacoby, too. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're wanting to save a little bit of money and be a little bit different, because I feel like that's how like most people are going to build, right? Is if you're going to build a Chargers stack, it would be with obviously either Keenan Allen or Palmer or Quentin Johnston, and then you know bring it back with Devonta. But I do think Myers fitting him in there fits nicely, and then I think maybe you could get a little bit different in other spots.
So,
yeah. It's kind of the way that I'm looking at it.
Because if you go Myers instead of Devonta, it might allow you to pay up at the second running back position, depending on what the rest of the team shakes out to be, which could end up making the difference, right? Like if you get McCaffrey and Myers instead of Devonta and like, you know, James Cook, you know, it could work out.
Yeah. I got a lot more poured over to do this damn slate, try to find some stuff. Because yeah, so anyways, well, let's go ahead and get out of here. It's been fun with this slate. Hopefully, there's definitely going to be some better slates ahead. Hopefully, we get some better football ahead because some of these games so far to start the season have been pretty gross for the most part.
Start sit on Sunday is going to be fun with all these games.
Yeah, by Spears, fun, I mean not. A stash over Kendre Miller. Yes, I would rather have Spears over Kendre Miller, honestly.
Yeah, I think our days of Derrick Henry are numbered.
Yeah, I think so too. He's starting to show his age a little bit. So
I mean, when you use him as much as they have for the last 5 years, I mean, I'd be a little worn down too.
Yeah, and he feels like if they continue to lose the way they have, they continue to spiral. He feels like it very much could be a trade candidate that gets moved off to a different team because he's a free agent after this year. So it's definitely possible that he gets moved at some point this year, which probably wouldn't be crazy. So anyways, that being said, let's go ahead and get out of here. Less than an hour is what we love to see. I appreciate everybody that's been rocking with us in the chat and asking questions. That's also what we want to see as well. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get out of here. I hope everybody wins some money this week. Hope everybody can, especially with this type of slate. Like I said, I think just getting a little bit different. I don't think you have to get entirely different like we did, unless you're playing in like a big money field. But if, you know, smaller contest stuff, definitely think you can kind of concentrate on these the two or three best games here on the slate and just trying to find some one-offs to fit in your lineup that are going to be a little bit contrarian, I think is definitely the way to do this. Maybe build a little bit more of a cash type lineup with a few different options here spread out is probably going to be the way to go here on this weekend games of slate, because it is not good. So anyways, said that enough. So anybody have a great night. We will see you again next week for week 5. And if you are into redraft, I know this is a DFS show, but if you're into that, we will be live on Sunday answering all of your redraft startup or redraft lineup questions to get you ready for the games on Sunday. So you can find us there on our YouTube
channel. And there is a London game Sunday morning.
Yes, so. Jacksonville Falcons. So
yeah, so don't forget about that. That's 9:30 Eastern time for those of you setting lineups for Sunday.
Imagine if you're a West Coaster, though.
6:30, you better have it set Saturday night.
Yeah. I guess the only positive would be is that the games are all over with at the end of the night, and then, you know, you're able to just kind of relax, and you don't have to, like, you know, stay up until.
Yeah.
Because these games feel like, especially like the Monday night games, it feels like they've been going super late.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. It just feels like even like the Sunday night games are going later than what they normally do. So those you East Coasters have it rough.
We do.
Yeah. So I'm right in the middle, right in the Midwest. So it's not as bad. So, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Quit wasting everybody's time. We'll see you guys on the next one. Have a good weekend. Let's win some money this weekend. We'll be back again next week for week 5. Bye. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. To the way the ball bounces, I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. DJ Rushing up. DJ Rushing up. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a breaks, boy. Yeah, that's a breaks, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.